This is Charlie Boast reading the Decatur Herald and Review for Friday, May 12th, 2017. I'll start part one with an article headlined Buffett Foundation Funds New Firearms Vehicles for Sheriff's Office. The article is by Ryan Voiles, V-O-Y-L-E-S. Decatur. A new donation from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation will allow the Macon County Sheriff's Office to upgrade its training equipment and vehicle fleet. The donation, with a total monetary amount of $357,420.10, will include 35 training firearms and simunition, 12 portable radios, and 5 2017 Chevrolet Tahoe PPV police interceptors, all equipped with what Sheriff Thomas Schneider said is top-of-the-line equipment. Buffett came to us and said, "Until the safety tax money starts to come in, let's save the taxpayers' money, and I'll buy you new vehicles so your officers have the proper equipment out there," Schneider said. The county board unanimously agreed to accept the donations during a Thursday meeting. Buffett, who has been an auxiliary deputy for the office since August 2012, could not be reached for comment. The vehicles will replace the 4 Ford police interceptors and 2 older Chevrolet Impalas currently in service, which will be sold at auction. The past few months have been expensive for the sheriff's office, as Lieutenant Jonathan Butts said they have spent thousands of dollars in vehicle repairs, including replacing an engine, steering column, electronic module, and windshield repairs. "We've put hundreds of thousands of miles on the vehicles we've had, and the amount we've had to spend on maintenance just keeps adding up all along with it," Butts said. The plan had been to put off the purchase of new vehicles until new money from the recently approved increase in the law enforcement safety tax becomes available later this year. But Schneider said Buffett approached the office about addressing the issue. Officials said the equipment that will be inside the vehicles also will be a major upgrade, such as high-quality camera that can live stream to the command center. "The donation of the training firearms will help prepare deputies with real-life scenario training, as deputies can practice actions such as sweeping a building with a training handgun or rifle that is similar in weight and build to an actual one." The donation comes as part of a steady stream of gifts from Buffett to various Decatur organizations that have included money for 211 telephone information and referral service to Macon, DeWitt, and Moultrie counties, funding for a new headquarters downtown for the United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois, $15 million for a new police training center under construction on the city's south side, $2 million to extend the Scoville Zoo train to wrap around the neighboring Children's Museum of Illinois, and $3.9 million cost of a new amphitheater in Nelson Park. There's a picture credited to Jim Bowling of the Herald and Review. The caption is, "Philanthropist Howard G. Buffett has been an auxiliary deputy at the Macon County Sheriff's Department since August 2012 and recently donated more money for the office to receive additional equipment." The other front page article, which I'll read, is headlined, "Finding a Safe Place to Cope. LSA Assists Students Suffering with Anxiety." There's a picture with the caption, "Nurse Laura Messimore sits with a student in her office at the Lutheran School Association. Messimore has created a calm space in her office and in the sick room next door where the lights can be dimmed and students can lie down for a few minutes." The article is by Valerie Wells. Decatur. The teachers at Lutheran School Association know that some of their students occasionally have to leave the room for a few minutes. They might go to the principal's office or the nurse's. Sometimes they just need a quiet place to pull themselves together or shed a few tears. We've been talking as a small group, the board and administrator, conversation that started with how anxiety is a problem with teens and preteens, middle school and high school, said Allison Nolan, principal of the high school. I started talking about some of the behaviors we have here. We have several students who suffer from an anxiety disorder, and it's a daily struggle. Young people of a generation ago and earlier had less constant contact with the barrage of upsetting news and images that today's teens carry around in their cell phones and ultimately in their heads, Nolan said. When she was in school, she only had to deal with things that happened in her own school and community, while youngsters now know of events on the other side of the world instantly. Couple that with the normal pressures of being a teen with academic excellence, getting into college, choosing the right career, worrying about making a difference in the world and everything else, and it's little wonder that teens perhaps have more anxiety. LSA staff and students try to provide a safe place for those among them who have panic attacks or crippling anxiety, Nolan said. Other students will notice when a classmate is tense and upset and put an arm around them instead of judging. Nurse Laura Messimore has created a calm space in her office and in the sick room next door where the lights can be dimmed and students can lie down for a few minutes. If they want to talk, she listens. If they simply need somewhere quiet and away from others, they can have that. It's mostly TLC, Messimore said, talking, listening, caring. Sophomore Emma Phillips said her anxiety began around eighth grade, and at first she thought it was test anxiety. Tests seemed to bring on the sweating and shaking and the inability to remember to breathe. She'd go into the locker room and sit on the floor because it was cold, though eventually she figured out that ice on the back of her neck and cool water made her feel better. Her sister, now in college, has similar challenges, and sometimes just hearing her sister's voice makes a difference. Emma's mom, Jane Phillips, works at the school and is available to help her too. I feel my throat closing like walls closing in on you, and there's nothing you can do about it, Emmy said. It's not a fun feeling. It's pretty much not being able to breathe and shaking. I have a support system here, and I can go to the nurse or my mom. Sometimes I hide in Principal Joel Witt's office and cry a little bit in the corner. There are people here who care, and that helps a lot, knowing I have somewhere to go. Freshman Mallory Witt said going into Messimore's office and ranting about my life helps her, and that Messimore will listen quietly without interrupting. Sometimes she'll tell Mallory that what she feels is okay or ask if there's something she can do to help, but just having someone nearby and supportive is what really makes the difference. Jane Phillips said she doesn't know if kids are more anxious today or if they're more willing to talk about it. I think we have an increase in awareness of what it is and how to handle it, she said. Our teachers are learning what it is and how to handle it, and a couple I know down here are safe spaces for students who need those. Andrew Gallegos, the band teacher, Emma said, is always willing to let her come into the band room, and while she said she doesn't know what to do or say, his quiet presence is all she really requires. You don't have to know what to say sometimes, Emma said. It's just being there. You don't have to know how to help. The Reverend Eric Tricky, senior pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran School, it's Lutheran Church, said the school is working on ways to teach even the youngest children how to be resilient, to give them the skills to manage stress and worry. It's no wonder they're experiencing all this anxiety, Trickey said. I think, as a society, we're more anxious than ever before, so how can we find that inner strength? How can we become resilient? Here we are trying to create a culture where we're teaching the kids they deserve the honor from the other people and respect, and also how to be honorable people and take responsibility for your choices in life, he added. In the world, we do a lot of rescuing people from choices they make. So here we're trying to introduce consequences at an early age when the stakes are lower. Trickey said that he didn't develop that resilience and responsibility until he was an adult. So he knows personally how tough it can be to navigate without them. Life is going to be hard, Trickey said. It always has been and it always will be. It's full of challenges. Are we raising kids who are able to meet those challenges and overcome them, or are we going to be swamped by them every time? Part of dealing with anxiety is creating a safe space where it's okay to feel all those things you're going through, but also we are building a resilience in them so this isn't a lifelong issue, so they can overcome and adapt to a difficult world, whatever issues they have, he said. There's a picture on this second page. Nurse Laura Messamore has created a calm space in her office and in the sick room next door where the lights can be dimmed and students can lie down a few minutes at the Lutheran School Association. There are a few bullet points from realsimple.com. Coping with anxiety. Repeat your worry until you're bored silly. Saying a thing over and over robs it of its power. Make it worse. Worried about going blank during a speech? Do so deliberately and see that nothing awful happens. Don't fight the craziness. Brains are always busy. Sometimes random and bizarre thoughts pop up. Consider it a curio and go on. Recognize false alarms. A sudden frightening thought that raises your heart rate is just a physical reaction. Don't let it take over. Let it go by. Turn your anxiety into a movie. Disconnect you from your worry. Imagine it's a performance and observe from afar. Four more bullet points. Set aside worry time. Choose a time. Let yourself worry about things for, say, 15 or 20 minutes, and that's all. Don't let worry consume you all the time. Breathe. Anxiety can make your breathing stop or get ragged. Consciously control and slow your breathing. Make peace with time. Almost everything works out if given enough time. Ask yourself if this will matter in a week or a month or 10 years from now. And last, don't let worry stop you from living. And now a short article on the second page of the Friday, May 12th Herald Review. Vehicle drives into Northside Nail Salon. It's written by the Herald and Review staff. Decatur. A vehicle that drove into a Northside Nail Salon Thursday caused thousands of dollars of damage and left one person with a minor injury, according to the Decatur police. Sergeant Dan Wise said a woman was attempting to park her vehicle in front of LP Nails, 215 East Ash Avenue, shortly before 2:30 p.m., when she apparently mistook the accelerator for the brake and drove over the parking block and into the storefront. The injured person was an employee of the salon, he said. The driver did not receive a citation because the incident occurred on private property, Weiss said. He estimated the damage would cost thousands to repair. Weiss said adjacent businesses in the same strip mall were not affected. Now from page A4, an article written by Valerie Wells with the headline, French Academy Students Walk Through Water Treatment Process. Decatur. Teresa Crosby did not expect the contrast between water direct from Lake Decatur and water that had been treated. She grimaced and said, "Ew." The sixth grader and her fellow French Academy sixth graders toured the South Water Treatment Plant on Thursday, May 7th. No, on Thursday, May 7th to 13th is National Drinking Water Week. "The water you see today is the water you're going to be drinking tomorrow," said Don Geiger, water operations, who is retiring in 2 weeks after 38 years of overseeing the population's clean water supply. Teresa doesn't want to see it until it's been cleaned up. She laughingly said she was totally turned off by the untreated water. There's a picture inserted in this with the caption, "Rose Cobb, left, and Teresa Crosby, middle, observed the operation of the water basins with fellow French Academy sixth graders while taking a tour of the South Water Treatment Plant on Thursday afternoon." The plant has been hosting school tours this week for National Drinking Water Week. Continuing with the article, "Until the early 20th century, residents in this area relied on the Sangamon River alone for their water needs. But as Decatur's population grew, the river proved inadequate. The first dam was built in 1922, and the Sangamon got fat, as lab technician Jim Wingfield phrased it, forming Lake Decatur. In 1955, the gates above the concrete portion were added to allow city officials to raise and lower the lake level in response to rainfall. Decatur and Mount Zion use 18 million gallons of water every day." Geiger asked the kids if they know why the lake water has an odor. "Fish," said several young voices. "It's not the fish," he said, "it's the algae. All water has algae, and the fish smell of it just like the water. This fish smell of it just like the water does. Lake water also contains dirt particles because the lake bottom is muddy and because so much farmland surrounds it. Nature could remove the dirt particles over time, but it would take a long time, and the treatment plant speeds up the process with chemicals. It takes about 16 hours to treat water, plus the addition of fluoride and chlorine, before it's pumped into the reservoir and ready for people to use," Wingfield said. He also pointed out the bluefish and blue heron art that decorates the reservoir. Students visited the lab to see demonstrations of the tests done to the water to find the levels of various minerals and watch the filtration process that takes out the small particles. "You'll probably take chemistry in high school," Geiger said to the students in the lab. "Some of you will love it, some not so much. I'm not a chemist, and that's why we keep Jim Wingfield around." Jalen Norman said he can't wait to take chemistry. He was fascinated by the chemical tests in the lab and by the process of purifying the lake water. He watched closely in the outdoor basins as the lime, pulverized into liquid form by a machine, was added to the water to remove calcium and magnesium and make hard water soft. He asked Wingfield if magnesium was the same substance as milk of magnesia. "That's pretty good, making that connection," Wingfield said. The second picture is titled, "Jayonda Burnett Observes Operations in the Filter House During the French Academy Sixth Grade Tour of the South Water Treatment Plant on Thursday Afternoon." And a final picture is captioned, "Operations Supervisor Don Geiger, T-I-G-E-R, shows French Academy sixth graders an alkalinity test in the quality control lab while giving them a tour of the South Water Treatment Plant on Thursday afternoon." And there's a set of drinking water tidbits. National Drinking Water Week, May 7 to 13, established 40 years ago by the American Water Works Association to celebrate the importance of clean water. Decatur statistics: concrete dam built, 1922. Steel gates added, 1955. Gallons of water used in Decatur and Mount Zion, 18 million. Gallons used per minute, 13,000. Hours from Lake Decatur to your faucet, 16. The next article is titled, ISU Redbird Statue Part of New Plaza. The article is written by Lenore Sobota, S-O-B-O-T-A. Normal. 10 years ago, a group called the ISU Traditions Council suggested bringing a statue of the ISU mascot, the Redbird, to the ISU quad and coined the phrase, "Meet me at the bird." Thursday afternoon, a large crowd did meet at the bird, a bronze bust of the ISU Redbird unveiled at the dedication of Redbird Plaza. Rather than taking over part of the quad, the plaza is located west of Fell Hall on University Street on the former site of Rambo House. The new location was recommended by current student leaders who resurrected the idea. After passing the torch, the vision of creating Redbird Plaza is fulfilled, said Levister Johnson, Vice President for Student Affairs, who said the goal was to provide a campus landmark to unite around in times of celebration, sorrow, hope, and friendship. Ryan Powers, former student body president, an outgoing student trustee, said, here at Illinois State University, students have a voice. This statue is proof of what students can do. The plaza was a cooperative effort of the Student Government Association and the estate of Judith Jude Boyer, who retired as Vice President of Student Affairs in 2000. In addition to the bronze bust designed by Bloomington Normal artist Rick Harney, the plaza includes red bricks, a semicircular wall with built-in benches behind the bust, and other park-like benches around the plaza. One of the benches has a plaque in memory of Benjamin Allison, an ISU student whose death in 2015 after being struck by a hit-and-run driver inspired an organ donation campaign. The plaque says, "To those who found a friend at ISU." The plaza also includes a semicircle on the ground in front of the statue that says, "To this emblem be true." Boyer embodies that motto more than anyone I know, said Michael Shermer, an ISU retiree who worked with Boyer for 29 years. To say she was an advocate for students is an understatement, said Shermer. This embodies the Redbird spirit we celebrate today. She was Ms. Redbird. President Larry Dietz, who started working on the idea when he was a vice president of student affairs, said, "We hope this dedication is just the beginning." He envisions incoming freshmen learning the ISU fight song at Redbird Plaza during their orientation. Powers said, "I'm looking forward the most to what new traditions will form organically." It didn't take long for students to start new traditions, as many wearing the caps and gowns in advance of Friday's and Saturday's commencement activities posed for photos by the Redbird bust. The costumed mascot, Reggie Redbird, was present too and became the first to rub the beak of the new statue for luck. Dietz said the new Redbird bust is 30% bigger than others on campus to accommodate the extra attention and love it will receive in this public space. A plaque welcoming people to the plaza notes that it was inspired by Judith Jude Boyer's steadfast commitment to elevating the voice of students for more than three decades and expresses hope that the plaza will be a space that promotes education and community while serving as a unifying emblem of pride to which all Redbirds will be true. And the picture found on a following page is credited to Dave Prober, and the caption is, "Illinois State University Student Trustee Ryan Powers, former student body president Patrick Kelly, Michael Schwermer, who is a retired assistant to the Vice President for Student Affairs, and ISU President Larry Dietz unveil a bust of the student mascot, school mascot, the Redbird, during the dedication of Redbird Plaza on Thursday on University Street in Normal. And now I'll read a series of short articles that are labeled briefs, found on page A4 of the Herald Review. Decatur, Mid-State Cup. Mid-State Soccer will host the Mid-State Cup today through May 14th. The tournament will feature 110 boys and girls teams from across Illinois, with games beginning at 6 p.m. today and 8 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Admission is free. U8 through U12 games will be played at the Decatur Soccer Complex, One Educational Park, while U13 through U19 games will be played at both the Decatur Soccer Complex and Millikan University. For more information, visit midstatesoccer.com or call Colin Bonner, Midstate Soccer Director of Coaching, at 217-429-3472. Decatur Park Cleanup. Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park will hold a restoration day from 1 to 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, May 13th. Bring gloves and dress to clean. For more questions, email Judy Parrish, jparrish@millikan.edu, or Roslyn O'Connor, R-O-C-O-N-N-E-R, at millikan.edu. Decatur Zippy Zoo Day. Scoville Zoo will host Zippy Zoo Day with Mom from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, May 13th. Activities include games, gifts while supplies last, and animal presentations. Moms receive free admission with a paying child on May 13 and 14. For more information, call Scoville Zoo at 217-421-7435. Now, the last three are police reports, I guess. Bad checks. This is Dateline Decatur. Police say they have caught a serial fraudulent check writer who cashed one check at a Decatur business for more than $3,800. In sworn statements, police said that check was cashed at the First Currency Exchange on March 4th, and police caught up with and arrested the 43-year-old suspect on Wednesday afternoon. The suspect was already being sought for writing two fraudulent checks earlier this year, police said, and he has previous convictions for writing bad checks. Decatur, sibling fight. A 62-year-old Decatur man punched his 64-year-old sister to the ground Wednesday evening and then repeatedly hit her in the head as she tried to get up, police said. Sworn statements said the victim told the police her brother had been drinking before the assault on the front porch of a house in the 1400 block of East Leafland Avenue, witnessed by the victim's mother, age 88. The statements said neighbors told police they heard an escalating argument and saw the victim get punched in the face and then punched in the head four more times as she tried to get up. The suspect, arrested shortly afterward, remained in the Macon County Jail Thursday on a preliminary charge of committing domestic battery while having a prior conviction for domestic battery. He has been denied bail. And I'll save the last one for part two. This is Charlie Boast concluding part one of the reading of the Herald Review for Friday, May 12th, 2017.